Book of Job, chapter 32, starting from verse 1.
So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God.
Elihu is not an ordinary man. All these three friends, Job's friends, they were not Jewish people. And I have doubt that Job also was not a Jewish man. But the Elihu was the Jewish man. And he comes from the Ram's family. Go to the Matthew chapter 1 and read verses 3 and 4.
And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon.
In my Bible, says Ram. In your Bible, says Ram? Or Ram. So the point I was making, the Elihu comes from the Ram's family. And so the Ram's family is a special, comes in Jesus' genealogy. So this man comes from the religious, godly people and godly family. But he has so many good characters. I don't know when he came, who invited him, or he was self-invited, and he listens. This is not a one-day speaking. This talk went for several days or maybe few months. And this young man sitting there taking notes and listening to all of the people's talking to each other, but he never interrupted them or never said, let me talk. He listened and listened and listened. And finally, when Job talked, and we learn in the chapter 31, the word of God says, Job ended his speaking. And he stopped speaking because he was also harsh on those people, three friends. And so they understood. We are going round and round and round, and we cannot convince Job. And all of these people with talking, they got exhausted. And then this Elihu, he says his anger was kindled like a fire. He was burning inside. When I'm going to talk? He said even the my belly was like they keep the wine in the skin. And so he said there was no vent. So I was bubbling and I was going to burst. So I thought if I don't talk, something is going to happen to me. But if I talk, I will be refreshed. I will feel good. So he was waiting and waiting and waiting. But here he's saying he was angry. Sometimes people say he's an angry man, and he start talking to these people, he will angrily do something and say something foul words. In this particular, what you call, from verses 1 to 5, he almost says 4 or 5 times his anger was kindled. He was very angry. The Bible says Jesus also was angry several times. You can be angry, but you should not be committing sin. And in this man's life, he can say from his experience, he says he is God's person. He has the Spirit of God. God has created him. So he was spiritual, but God comes to Job. God did not tell Job, you and all your friends should go to Elihu, and Elihu will do sacrifice. When God comes, Elihu is out of picture. God did not say anything about Elihu, but he talks about his three friends and Job. So here we see the young man sitting there and thinking, when I'm going to get my chance? Maybe he was praying in his heart. Most of the time when I want to talk to somebody, I will be praying and praying in my heart and asking God to give me a chance to talk. So here we see Elihu is bubbling in his spirit. He wants to say something and he is waiting. He said, I cannot wait anymore. But I think God heard his prayer and shut the mouths of all these four people. And then he got a chance. Maybe he's looking around. Anybody wants to talk? Can I talk? Maybe he did sign language or whatever. And he got a chance. So let's read the verse 3. Job chapter 32, verse 3.
Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and durst not show you mine opinion.
Now here the Job is saying, I waited, I heard you talking, I wanted to talk and interrupt you people, but you are very old. Do you know why he's saying that? Because one of the person, he said to Job one time, I am older than your father. So he says, I'm older, I have the wisdom, I have the experience, and I studied a lot, and you listen to me. But this man, Elihu, is saying, now you listen to me. You are older and you are very old, but you people were not giving the right answer to Job. So he said, now I'm going to talk, because he just said, this is not a command or anything. I am going to give my opinion. You people gave your opinion. Now let me give my opinion. Verse 7.
I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding.
Now here is saying, I thought, you are older than me, and you have wisdom, and you should be giving your wisdom. But your wisdom is worldly wisdom. You remember what Job said? God says, if you want the wisdom of God, you have to have the fear of God. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. So these people, they were not afraid of God. They were giving their opinion without God telling them. But I knew that they were taking their opinion from the demon. The devil inspired these people, and that's why they did not have the spirit of God. And that's why this Elihu, you say, God has created man and put his spirit in the man. And so the inspiration of the Almighty God will give us understanding. Now, those people might be thinking he's young, but he said, you know, old means not wise. Old means not everything you know. He says, because some people get old and they get senile. And they don't remember anything, and they get frustrated. So he said, old is not the answer. Answer is the fear of God. You have to have wisdom of God. And now they are godly people. They are 95 years old or 97 years old, and they are still preaching the word of God. You have to have the spirit of God. But if you start doing sinful activity, you are quenching the spirit of God, and then you lose the power of God, lose the wisdom of God, and then you become like an ordinary person. And your advice will be not a godly advice. That's why he says, God has given us the spirit to every man. Adam had the spirit of God. What happened? As soon as he started listening to the devil, he lost the spirit. He lost the power. And so the word of God is saying, you have to have the fear of God, and the fear of God will give the wisdom of God and the understanding of God. Verse 9.
Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgments. Therefore I said, hearken to me, I also will show mine opinion.
Now again he says, let me tell you, the great man. Great man means he's talking about the kings and the princes and the other people. They can be great people. So he says the great people and the wealthy people are not always wise, and they don't have right judgment or right understanding to judge the people. So he says, now let me tell you, you listen to me, and I will give my opinion. Now he's saying, now I heard, I never interrupted you, now you do not interrupt me. You listen to me. Verse 11.
Behold, I waited for your words, I gave ear to your reasons, whilst ye searched out what to say.
He says, I gave you the time and I was listening. And when you were talking to Job, you were sometimes lost the words, what to say. And you were searching the words. I don't know if they had any dictionary or something, or they were asking each other. But he says, you were searching for the word, you lost some time, and you didn't know what to say. But he says, I don't have that kind of problem. I will give my opinion. You listen to me now. Okay, verse 12.
Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words.
Now he says, when I was listening carefully, what you talking to Job, and Job is talking, and when you were talking, and when you were answering him, you were not answering what he was saying, but you were saying something else. And so you could not convince Job that he is wrong, because he's saying something, and you are giving answers differently. So he said, you people were not communicating properly. Sometimes people do that. He's saying something, and they ignore what he's saying, and they give their opinion, and that's why the talk doesn't go anywhere. Verse 13.
Lest he should say, we have found out wisdom. God thrusteth him down, not man.
Now he said, you might be thinking, I have a wisdom, I have understanding and this and that. But you know, God is the only gives it. Let's read the Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. God gives wisdom and understanding. We cannot brag about it.
Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
The word of God says the wisdom, the knowledge, the riches, and everything comes from God. There is nothing to brag about. There is nothing to be proud about, because we humble ourselves and we trust in God and we worship God and we listen to God. Then everything comes from God. But the pride comes, you fall. So always be humble enough to study the word of God and grow. There is not a single man in the world can say, I know everything about the Bible. The people I heard, they read the Bible on their knees for 500 times. Still they said, we do not know the word of God. We want to learn more. So the knowledge comes from God. Go back to the Job chapter 32, verse 14.
Now he hath not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches.
Now he said the Job was not talking to me. He never pointed out to me, and he was not talking to me. He was talking to you, and you were talking to him. So he says, I am not be directing him or be angry at him or doing something like that. Read the verse 15.
They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking.
Now these people were listening, and I don't have argument with you. I don't have argument with the Job, but I'm listening and I want to give my opinion. So those wise people, they were amazed. This young man, I don't know how old he was. Maybe just think he's in his 20s. And he is giving the advice. And so these people were amazed, and they made up their mind, we are not going to interrupt this young man. Let's listen what he has to say. Verse 16.
When I had waited, for they spake not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion. For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me.
Now he said, I listen and listen. I wanted to talk, but I kept quiet. But now I want to say something. You people listen now. And then he says, I'm just giving my opinion. He said several times, I'm not speaking by authority. I'm not speaking that I'm wiser than you and older than you. But this is just my opinion. You take it or leave it. This is what I'm going to say. And then he says, I have so many things to talk to you. You people were talking, but you lost for words. But I don't have that problem because young people, their mind is sharp. Sometimes you want to say something and you stand and say, I want to say this word, but the word is not coming in your mind. But he said, I don't have that problem. I am going to talk to you, and because I have the Spirit of God, and Spirit of God is compelling me, Spirit of God is urging me to say these things, because I am inspired by the Spirit of God to tell you these things. So listen, verse 19.
Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent, it is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed, I will open my lips and answer.
Now he said, listen, I have to talk. If I don't talk, I'll be burst. I'll be dead. I cannot take it anymore. There are some people, they don't talk, they get crazy. So he said, I want to talk something like that. I'm waiting for a long time. This is like I'm going to burst. So listen to me, and now my lips are talking to you. Let's read the words 21 and 22.
Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, in so doing my Maker would soon take me away.
Now he's saying, listen, this is my nature. I am a child of God. I do not flatter. Flattering means is one way is a lying. People say something, they lie to make you feel good. Even that they don't like you, say, oh, you're beautiful. You don't like their dress, oh, this dress is beautiful. They can flatter you or and lying and not telling the truth. So he said, listen, I'm not going to flatter. This is not my nature. I tell the truth, you like it or not. And then he says, if I don't tell the truth, and if I start lying, what the Bible says, all liars will go to hell fire. All liars will go to lake of fire. So don't flatter. Don't lie. Tell the truth. If they don't like it, they will come around. They will understand the person was not lying. He was telling the truth. And he says, if I don't tell you the truth, if I lie, if I flatter, what will happen? I will be dead. God will kill me. Because lying is not a good business. Liars will go to hell. Book of Revelation says that. It says, Book of Revelation chapter 21 verse 8, all liars will go to hell. So he said, I do not want to go to hell. God will put me in a hell. My nature is not lying. My nature is telling the truth. So I am going to tell the truth. I will not partial. And that's the chapter 32 ends there. We are going to start Job chapter 33, starting from verse 1.
Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly.
Now here is saying, Job, please listen to me. Don't interrupt me. And when I'm talking, my words are coming up. Uprightness means I am right with God. My heart is right with God. I'm a child of God. I live for God. And when I am talking, I will not be telling the stories, but I will be giving the knowledge of God very clearly. So that means sometimes people talk and you don't understand what they're talking. Did you see some preachers? When they preach, they use very hard words. You have to have a dictionary to what he said. And they think like they are dignifying, they are using very hard words, and people do not understand, they scratch their head. What they're doing, they are showing people they are very wise, they are very educated, and they are highly educated people. But their talk goes over your head, and you don't understand anything. So when you're talking, you talk a simple language. You talk simple so the third grader can understand. So he's saying, when I give you knowledge, when I give you the word of God or whatever I'm talking, it will be very clear. You don't have to ask any questions because I will talking to you plainly. And that's the way you're supposed to do. Verse 4.
The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life.
The Spirit of God has created me, and He has put His Spirit. Breath is a spirit. He has put His breath in my life, and He has given me His life. So I am not having my own life. I'm talking behalf of God, and I have the Spirit of God, and I am just like His agent. But He's saying, I am talking behalf of you. Verse 5.
If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up.
Now He says, if I'm talking to you, and you don't understand something, do not interrupt me. Do you know when you are in the school, and you're teaching, and you are a good teacher, what are you telling your students? Always ask questions. Some teachers do not want children asking questions. I like people asking questions. I encourage people to ask questions. If you don't ask questions, then you don't learn anything. And when I used to in the school, I always put my hand up. Nobody's asking questions. I was the only one asking questions. When you say asking question means sound like dumb. People say, oh, he doesn't know anything, he's always asking. But you learn when you're asking questions. So He said, if you have any questions, just stand up. Or don't be afraid. And I will give you a chance, but don't interrupt. And that's a good advice. Okay, verse 6.
Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay.
He said, listen. I am just the ordinary man, just like you. God has created us from the dust. I am just made by dust. I'm made by clay. But why I'm talking? I am talking behalf of you. Those people were saying we are God's agent, but actually they are pressing you down. But I am here to encourage you. I am here to find out some godliness out of you. And if you are not godly, I will tell you the godly way so you can be righteous. That's my reason I'm talking to you. Verse 7.
Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee.
He says, listen, you don't have to be afraid of me because I am not going to make you scared. I am here to help you. Verse 8.
Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying...
Now He said, listen, I was listening to you. He made a notes, maybe in mind or maybe in writing. He said, you are saying something and I was listening. Do you want to know what you were saying? And now He is telling what Job was saying. Please read verse 9.
I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, He findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for His enemy.
Now He said, listen, what you said. You said, I'm clean. I don't have any transgression. I didn't do any evil things. I am innocent in the sight of God. And I don't have iniquity. I don't have any sin. And He says, God is finding some problem in me. And He wants to accuse me for no reason. And God is my enemy. That's what you said. Now He said, if somebody says to God, I am innocent, I never commit sin, I'm a righteous man, and you are angry at me, do you know how many times Job accused God? And verse 11.
He putteth my feet in the stocks, He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man.
Now He said, you even said, God is putting my feet in the stock, He watches my feet. He marks me where I'm going, and He blocks me from everywhere. And this is what you are accusing God. And He says, when you start accusing God, what are you thinking? Do you think that He's an ordinary man or something? He's a greater than anybody. He's a creator. He's God Himself. And you're accusing God, and you're thinking that I can take the God to court, and I will talk to Him and this and that. He said, that thinks you're doing some foolishly. You cannot argue with God like that. Verse 13.
Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters.
He says, if you fight with God and argue with God, do you think God has to answer you and give you account why he said and why he did? You are a creature. He is the creator. You cannot talk to God, why you made like this? Why I'm not white, and why my nose is this, and why my color is this? You cannot argue with God. God is the creator, part maker, and he makes the different parts. One part for good use and one for the bad use. But the part is not complaining, why did you make like this? So same way, God is the creator. You cannot blame God. The person can be ugly looking, and whatever the features are, but if that person is godly and speaking about God and doing signs and wonders and miracles, people will love that person. You saw the man with a one finger, teeny weeny finger, no leg and no hand. Thousands of people coming to hug him. And the lady said, I want to marry you. And he got married and our children. This is what God does. If he said, why God made me like this, and I'm no use to God and no use to anybody. God can use anybody. Ugly looking, color bad, or what bad, or no hand, or no feet, or nothing. But if you have God in you, people are going to see God in you. So he says, you cannot fight with God. Why did you do this to me? God has his reason. From that he is trying to say, God is not going to punish you without a reason. In this chapter he said, there is a reason. He didn't tell you, but you have to find out why this happened to me. If somebody got sick or somebody got problem or something, instead of blaming God, he said, why this happened to me? Did I do something wrong? Lord, if I did something wrong, please forgive me. That's the way to start. Not blaming God. I didn't do anything. Whole day I was doing good and I have no problem. And all of a sudden this thing happened. Maybe you did 1 year ago and you forgot. But he just waited for 1 year to ask forgiveness and you didn't do it. And that's what happens. Okay, let's read verse 14.
For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not.
See, he says, God speaks to you one time, he speaks to you twice, but you don't pay attention. You're going in your bizarre business and you don't think, and then all of a sudden problem comes. Why did it happen? He said, didn't I warn you several times with a word of God, or with some friend, and I told you several ways? Not even the dream and vision, you didn't listen. That's what this problem came. That's what he's trying to say. Verse 15.
In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction.
Now he says, let me tell you, God speaks to you in several ways. He speaks to you with the dreams, visions. He speaks to you from the word of God. He can send some man of God or some friend or somebody, and he will talk to you in different ways. But if you don't listen, it's not God's fault. And if you remember, in an early chapter, Job says, you torture me in a dream, and I get scared, and I was afraid in my dream. And that's the time to say, Lord, what are you talking to me? I want to hear. Arguing with God will not go anywhere. God says, reason with me. That doesn't mean God says, find fault in me. Come to me and say your petition, what you want. You remember when one king, what is this, Hezekiah, had problems and somebody wrote him a letter and he was so scared. And so he took the letter and put it on the altar in front of God and said, Lord, see this. See what this man is saying. He told Isaiah, and Isaiah came and told him what's going to happen. And when he talked to God, God says, I'm in control. One angel killed all those people over 80,000 or so. And the man who was harassing him, he went to his own town and he went to his temple, and his own children killed him. Don't blame God. You don't understand. You go in the presence of God and pray. When you have a problem, I'm not going to go to church this day because he's not answering me. I'm not going to pray. I'm going to throw the Bible somewhere. I don't want to pray that God is not listening to me. What are you going to do? If you do that, God is going to get scared. God is going to say, oh, if I don't do this, this person is not going to worship me, so I'm going to bless him. That's going to happen. What Jesus said to Paul, hey, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you kick against the prick. What he's trying to say, if you kick against the prick, you are going to get bruised. You're going to get problem, not God. So don't argue with God and don't fight with God. Just humble yourself and pray. That's the answer. Okay, verse 17.
That he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man.
He said, why God does that? Gives you vision, gives you dream, talks to you several times, so your pride will come down. And so you can listen. But if you don't listen, then you will have penalty. Verse 18.
He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword.
See, he said, God is helping you that you should not go to hell. That's why this persecution and this punishment or this sickness and disease and all this problem comes. So you have to get warned and say, Lord, what are you talking to me? What should I be doing? That's what he's trying. Otherwise, you will be killed by sword. God doesn't kill by sword, but he sends enemy. He sends the, God even says, I'll send the thief to rob you. I'll send the somebody enemy to kill you. Okay, verse 19. Okay.
He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out.
Now he says, this is the Old Testament. Some people take this and talk today that God is giving you sickness, God is going to give you pain, God is going to make you sick, and God is going to make your bones stick out. It means you lose weight and you're dying. This is what God is doing because you did something wrong. Who is doing this? In those days, whatever devil does, they said God doing it, because God created the devil, and the devil doing, if God didn't created him, he won't be doing. So whatever happens, God did it. That's what they were thinking. But read the St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says. The thief, the enemy, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Okay, go ahead.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Now, in the 21st century, don't blame God. Blame the devil. Devil is the author of all sickness, disease, and death. And so we have to come to God when the problem comes. Instead of blaming God, you say, Lord, I'm sorry. If I did something wrong, I don't know why this sickness came. Today I was doing all right. Today I prayed. Today I read the Bible. And most of the day I was not doing. But today is the one punishment came. Why? Because you might have done 5 years ago and this happened today. Maybe God wants to open your eyes. But he says, I did something good and that's what happened to me. And so other day, somebody said, their children, first time somebody invited them to go to church. And they went to church. And so they went to church, they were happy. When they came back from the church, some robber came and broke their door. And so I asked the parents, I said, the children might be very angry. We went to church for the first time, and when we came home, robber came. But in my heart, I was thinking, Even the devil wanted to make them mad, but devil had the fear of God not to take anything from their house. So I asked, did they take anything? They said, no, they just broke the door, did not take anything. Why? Because they were worshiping God, so God was watching, and God told them, you went to church, I protected your home. So that's what happened. But some people will say, I went to church and God allowed him to do this, so I'm not going to go to church. Some people call and say, Pastor Peter, I wanted to come to church, but I don't have a good lock and my door is not strong. I said, what? Read Psalm 127 verse 1. What it says? If God is not watching the city, the watchman's watching is in vain. If God is not building your house, the builder building is in vain. Verse 22.
Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers.
Now what he's saying, when you don't do it right, the enemy will come, give the sickness, give the disease. You will not have any appetite to eat. You lose weight and your bone will stick out. And he is not stopping there. He wants to destroy you. Who? He said destroyer. Not God. Destroyers is devil. Devil is after you to kill you. Okay, verse 23.
If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit, I have found a ransom.
See, here is saying, but God always looking for somebody to go and talk to this person and try to deliver him from these things. Some good messenger, maybe pastor, or maybe some friend, or maybe somebody. But thank God we have Jesus. God sent Jesus Christ, and the word of God says we were yet sinner, and Jesus died for you. So he found the ransom. Jesus gave his life for us. We didn't do anything, but he died for us. So God was loving and caring for us. These people do not understand. They are going astray. But I want you to go and give your life and give the message to them so they can come. So the word of God says he sent him. He sent the word to do the job. And he says, I'm going to send the word, and that word will not come return in vain. He will do the job. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, what he says, it is finished. You send me to do the job, I did it right. And that's the way God does. Okay, verse 25.
His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth.
Now, who is he? The person who repents. The person who listens to God. The person who listens to the message. The person who prays. His flesh can be bone sticking out. The black skin, or like a Job, and scales are falling and everything. He said he can make your flesh like a child flesh, and your youth will return back to you. Stop complaining. Start calling upon God. Give your life to God, and God will change everything. Your sickness will be gone, your disease will be gone, your weakness will be gone. Sometimes doctor says, I don't know what this person has a disease. All of a sudden, he's not eating anything, he's not drinking anything, he cannot digest anything. Now he's skin and bones, and we don't have anything. Even though we take you to the hospital, they cannot find his vein, we cannot give you IV, send him to die. That's what the people think. I saw one lady 8 years in a bed, dying, skin and bone. And her sister says, pray for my sister. I said, where is she? She says, she's in the bed. I said, I cannot see her. Because you cannot see her body, just a flat bed. Then she opened her, that what you call the bed sheet. She said, I'm here. It's a long story, but I prayed for her. And within 3 months, she was completely healthy, beautiful looking girl, long hair, and youth came on her. And her husband, who said, I don't need you, he came back. I said, where is that girl? She said, that's me. And she said, look at my husband sitting under the tree. He knew that I'm healed, so he came to take me home. Thank God that you came today, otherwise you won't be seeing me. The point I'm making, 8 years of disease, God healed her instantly. No doctor was able to do anything. So here the word of God is saying, don't worry that doctor cannot find anything for you. Doctor can make thousands of mistakes. You just trust in God. Whatever your sickness and disease, you people sometime taking the communion, repeating the prayer, but it's repeating from here. You repeat from your heart. Say, Lord, I am praying every day. I don't want this sickness. I don't want this problem. Why don't you go to God and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to do the things I used to do. I want to do your will. God can heal. He said, your youth will come back to you like a child. Okay, read verse 25.
His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy.
See, when you pray to God, he will be favorable to you. And then you look in the mirror, your face will be nice and beautiful, and you will have joy. That's what God does. God can change your situation overnight. It doesn't take years and years. I believe God heals instantly. There is no time limit. Sometimes it feels like it will take days, but he already started a work, and it will be done.
He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness.
Not only his face will be good, but he says, God will make you righteous. Righteousness comes by faith. Abraham became righteous because of his faith. In the Old Testament, you do sacrifice or believe in God, you are righteous. Okay, verse 27.
He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not.
See, the person has to say, oh Lord, I have committed sin. I did everything wrong, but that thing did not profit me. Some people say, oh, you know what? It's so boring. Let me go and meet my friend and have some relationship so I will feel good. He said, whatever you commit sin, you will not feel good. You will feel worse and you will be sorry. Because whatever sin you commit, that will not make you happy. The sin makes you happy for 5 minutes. If the virgin goes and sleep with one person, 5-10 minutes, she's enjoy. But now she became pregnant, she has to lose the school, she has to get the pain from everybody, kicked around from everywhere. What happened? One little mistake will bring you all the pain and suffering. And that's what happened. He says, that will not do any good to you, but it will do harm to you when you commit sin. Verse 28.
He will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light.
So, when you confess your sins, you ask God to forgive you, he said, God will protect you. You are going to go to hell. Everybody is going to hell. Somebody says, oh, I'm not. Everybody born into this world, if they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can have 3 degrees. They can have all the money in the world. They can think that they are not doing anything wrong. They are righteous. But all people are born in sin and all have sinned. And they came short of the glory of God. And they are going to die and go to hell. Not a single person is going to go to heaven without God and without Christ. So it is our duty to tell that person, you look so handsome. You look so wealthy, you have everything in the world, but do you know nobody told you you're going to go to hell? People don't have courage to tell. Verse 29.
Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living.
See, he says, this kind of thing God does oftentimes to bring you to God. Pay attention to God. Anything wrong happen to you, turn to God. People sometimes, you know, some heart attack or something happening, call ambulance, call 911, and they are so busy running. When my wife was dying with a heart attack, she was sweating like anything. I put my hand and actually collected water from her forehead. And her clothes were like she's coming out of the bathroom, all wet. I said to her, do you want me to call ambulance? She said, no. Do you want me to take you to the hospital? She said, no. So she said, no, you just pray for me. I know one thing. If I go to hospital in this condition, right away they are going to do surgery and I will die. So I prayed for her and she was on the floor, lying on the floor. I prayed for her and I was sitting on my chair. And I was tired. But she said, why don't you go and sleep? I said, no, until you feel better, I'm not going to get up from here. And pretty soon, she said, I feel good. You can go and sleep and I'll be all right. From that day until today, my wife never took a drop of medicine. Nothing. And she's still alive by the grace of God. So what I'm trying to say, who healed her? Not Pastor Peter. Jesus. Don't just rush to the hospital. Pray. Call somebody. Pray first. I'm not against going to doctor. Our God knows much more than your doctor. And he can fix it. Okay. Verse 31.
Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace and I will speak.
Now he said, Job, listen to me. Mark down. If anything I said something wrong, mark it down, write it down, but don't interrupt. Let me speak, because I want to tell you about God's things. And when you listen, God will protect you from the hellfire. God will protect you and he will give his life. He will give you his light. He will give you eternal life. Listen to me. Verse 32.
If thou hast anything to say, answer me. Speak, for I desire to justify thee.
See, if you have anything and you want to ask me question, I will answer you. But I am speaking these things and teaching you, declaring this thing to justify thee. Means, I'm not condemning you. I want to make you a righteous person. When you're talking to Hindu or Muslim or anybody, you say, look, I'm not your enemy. I am trying to save you from hell. I don't want you to go to hell. That's why I'm talking to you. And so if you like it or not, but I have nothing against you. I'm just loving you and telling you the truth. Okay, verse 33.
If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom.
Now here, he says, listen to me, hold your peace, don't talk to me, because I'm going to teach you the wisdom. Now here when he says, I'm going to teach you wisdom, people don't like. He should have said, I want to teach you the wisdom of God. Somebody say, you're younger than us. What are you going to tell you? Your wisdom. But he made a mistake here, or maybe translation is not done properly. He cannot have the wisdom without God. He said, I have the spirit of God. I have the understanding of God. And so when you talk, you have to be very careful. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom and you shut up. It doesn't sound good. He should have said, you know what? Up to now you're listening to me. I have so many things to talk to you. Please don't interrupt. And if you want to interrupt me, you give me signal, stand and ask me questions. I'll give it to you because I am inspired by God. And God is talking through me. So you listen to me. That would sound much better. So, shall we rise and let's pray that God should give us grace and wisdom just like Elihu. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your ways. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us, protect us, and give our people the supernatural power and wisdom to communicate with people and tell the truth. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.